Uncommon teacher opinion. Teachers can retire as millionaires. Now, notice I said that was an uncommon teacher opinion as opposed to an unpopular teacher opinion. I think, honestly, teachers would love that. I think that would be a very popular thing if teachers knew that they could walk away from a great career in education as a millionaire. But the reason why I say it's uncommon is because I don't think that we talk about how we actually do that. I don't think we discuss the path to actually have financial freedom after we say farewell to the classroom. I don't think that conversation exists enough. I think, unfortunately, teachers are kind of sold the idea that because we dedicate our lives to the classroom, we will be set up for retirement. And the unfortunate truth, the unfortunate reality is this. Unless we are actively doing some things ahead of time, outside of just our teacher retirement benefits, I think we would be shocked if we knew what it's going to look like down the road. And that's exactly why I'm recording this podcast episode. During this episode, I am going to give you guys three incredible, helpful hacks to make sure that you have financial freedom as an educator as you near the end of your career. Now, if you are young and you're saying, girl, I'm just getting started, retirement is so far away, it's just as important, or maybe even more important, to keep listening, because if we can start getting into some simple habits now in our 20s, in our 30s, and in our 40s, it's going to make financial freedom way more fun when we actually do retire. I know that talking finances can be incredibly difficult, and I know sometimes it's a whole lot easier to avoid these financial conversations, but I promise by the end of this episode, you will have a roadmap on some simple things that you can do now to help you live the type of life that you want to live when you retire. If this is something that you know you need to hear, even though your heart and head are feeling a little bit nervous, you're in the right spot. I'm going to walk you through it. Let's get into it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. I have two absolutely essential disclaimers before I start this episode. Disclaimer number one, I am not a finance expert. I am a classroom teacher just like you. And so when discussing finances throughout this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about my own research, my own numbers, my own practices, things that I have learned and acquired throughout the years. And so I need you to know that this is not considered financial advice. I really want you to take some of my personal examples and go through those from your own financial lens with your own financial goals. I will always be a huge proponent of talking to a tax or finance or investment professional, because there are some really great people who will support you in that finance journey, especially as a teacher. So again, this is not financial advice. This is just me talking finances as your teacher friend. The other piece that I want to say before we even get rolling is this. Finances can be so freaking hard to talk about. And I think something that doesn't get discussed enough is kind of the shame and the guilt and the hardship that comes with finances. There are teachers all across the country that are finding themselves in an economic spot that is just not okay. We are literally dedicating our lives to enriching children with knowledge and love and support and the roadmap to have a successful life, and we don't get paid appropriately. We simply don't. And I could do an entire another podcast episode on that. But what I will say is, if you find yourself not having extra at the end of the month, if you find yourself living paycheck to paycheck and not being able to get ahead of the bills or get ahead of your financial goals, you're not alone. I also want to say this. I don't have legal dependents. And I know so many of you out there do. Some of you have lots of kids and you are doing this on a single mom income. So many of you out there maybe have a dual income and you have dependents and you're still finding yourself not being able to keep your head above water. And that is something that I truly can't relate to, but I can absolutely have compassion for. So as I get into these numbers, I need you to know that everybody's journey is going to be different. Let us not compare one person's financial situation to another, because the most important part of this is to give you a roadmap of some things that you could do regardless of where you are, regardless of whether you have a little surplus at the end of the month, regardless of whether maybe you're considered DINKS, which is a dual income, no kids. Every single person's journey is different, but I just want to clap it up for all the teachers who are also parents, for all of the teachers who are trying to provide the best possible life for their children and the children within their classroom. That's just incredible, and it's undervalued, and I'm cheering you on, okay? With that said, the number one thing that I think is so important to talk about for this episode is actually knowing your TRS number. And when I say your TRS number, I'm talking about your teacher retirement system number. I don't know about you, but when I went to college in the early 2000s, there was this belief that if you dedicate your life to the profession, that you're gonna have a sweet ass retirement. That teacher retirement is a very, very just secure. And what was sold as almost this like lucrative thing, that in other words, you're gonna be set for when you retire. And so I believed that. And I kind of dreamed that up in my head. And I knew some much older teachers who had retired, and they seemed that they got to travel a lot, and like they were wintering 4 months out of the year in Florida because they were teachers. And I thought, hell yeah, that's what's up. Okay. And so I have this belief, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's kind of what I envisioned. And so when I started teaching, I just thought, okay, cool. Every single month, I can see in my paycheck, large chunks of money are going to retirement. So I'm set. Like, that's how that works. And it wasn't until I was about 25 years old where I was walking down the hallway of the middle school that I taught in, and my assistant principal stopped me kind of randomly and said, "Monica, quick question. Do you have a Roth?" And I said, "Wait, what?" And he said, "Do you have a Roth?" And I said, "I have no idea what you are talking about." And he said, Monica, you really need to get a Roth. It's a retirement investment account, and I highly recommend it. And he kind of planted this seed. And we're going to talk more about a Roth in a little bit. But I need you to know that if you have no idea what a Roth is, you're not alone. But I kind of ignored that for a moment because I still had this belief that the teacher retirement system was going to have my back. I will say this, every state is going to be very, very different. And the numbers that I'm going to talk about in this episode and the equations that I'm going to discuss in this episode are going to come from the state of Illinois because that's where I live, that's where I teach, that's the system that I know. So kind of an asterisk is know that this might not be exactly what your state looks like. This might not even be, if you live in Illinois, what yours looks like because we have what's called tier one and tier two. And depending on how old you are and when you started teaching, your retirement age might be very different than when I am eligible because they tacked on an extra 5 to 7 years to you newbies, to you youngins, okay? I was right on the cutoff. I'm nearly 40, and I was right on the cutoff. So if you're in your 20s or 30s, the state of Illinois currently says that you have to teach way longer than what people in their 40s and 50s have to teach. Disclaimer, okay? Now, the tip that I want to talk about right now is, teachers, we need to know our TRS numbers. And our TRS numbers means that when you retire, here's how much you're actually going to get. And we can calculate those numbers now. It doesn't have to be this mysterious game. I, in fact, real life, recently called TRS because I was curious. I'm nearing 40. I'm about 20 years into the profession, if you account for my number of sick days, I'm at like year 20 right now. And so I was thinking, okay, year 20, I'm kind of curious. If I stopped now, what would my numbers be? And they were not willing to set up an appointment with me because they said, girl, you're very young. Like, are you trying to retire right now? Are you quitting? Are you leaving the profession? I was like, oh no, I was just curious. And they kind of said, we really don't dive in deep and start looking at numbers until you're actually ready. And while I understand it, while I understand the system is bogged down, to be honest, that was not my most favorite answer. I would love to better understand this now because I'm trying to be proactive. I don't want to be reactive. So they gave me a little bit of help without setting up a meeting, and I learned the equation. And I need you to know, I've been in the profession nearly 20 years, and I just learned this equation this year, and I want to share this equation with you. And this is the equation as of this moment. Of course, these things are always changing. The government is always changing. State legislation is always changing. Like, right? But as of right now, let me share the equation with you. The equation is the number of years that you have taught times 2.2. Then you get that number right here and you multiply that by the average highest 4 consecutive years in your last 10 years of teaching. Now, this piece right here, the highest 4 consecutive years in your last 10 years of teaching, that average, this is why it is very common for people nearing retirement. They go into being a principal. They go into being a superintendent because it's just a numbers game. If your salary is substantially higher in your last 4 years, your average goes up. Therefore, your retirement goes up. This is the equation. Now let's take this equation and use a real life example. I'm not going to name this person, but it's a friend of mine. And they came to me and they are in a similar situation as I am, about 20 years. And they came to me and said, Monica, I am thinking about leaving the profession and joining a family business. It would just be like part-time. They're just needing a little help with like some office, like clerical work. And so I'm thinking about just doing that and being done with teaching. And I said, okay, get down. Have you crunched the numbers? And they said, what do you mean? They said, I've taught for 20 years. I'm going to have like a really good retirement in TRS. I said, I don't know. I don't know your whole situation. I can tell you here is the equation. I can show you how to crunch those numbers and then you can calculate that and see if you're feeling okay. And they're like, Monica, I'm like way past halfway there. I could retire in 10 years. I don't think it's going to be that much different. And I said, I hear you. Here's the equation. And I shared this equation with them. Okay. And when they calculated that, they were going to be getting around $1,500 a month when they were in their 60s. That's not much. And I think that was a bit of a sucker punch to that person. And I know some of you might be saying, well, yeah, because they retired too early. They only taught for 20 years, right? But I think until you really start looking at your numbers, this becomes difficult. So I think before we ever make any big decisions, we should know that number. Because I don't think it's any surprise to any of you listening that teachers are leaving in droves. Teachers are finding higher paying jobs. Teachers are saying, you know what? I pay $1,000 a month in daycare. I'm barely breaking even teaching. And so there's just a lot of life circumstances that are happening. Other teachers are saying, I'm 20 years in, I'm stuck now. And there's this feeling of, I have to continue teaching because otherwise I'm not gonna get this bomb teacher retirement after 30 years. So let's take this exact same equation that we just talked about and let's apply it to that 30 years of teaching, which I think is a milestone that a lot of people claim is great, okay? So if we take the number of years as teaching as 30 years, let's say that you teach for 30 years, your multiplier then is going to be 0.66, and let's say that your average four consecutive years, $75,000 salary. We're looking at close to $50,000 in retirement at, that would be at, let's say, 52. So at 52 years old, you're going to be getting $50,000. Now, that's a good chunk of money for retirement, but this is the piece that we often forget about is healthcare. Healthcare is a huge expense. And if you teach for 30 years and retire, hell yeah, good for you. Love that. You're not necessarily eligible for Medicare. There are private things that you can get, but Medicare is not happening. And I looked this up because the age kind of changes, but typically Medicare as of right now is at 65 years. So the question would be, how are you paying for insurance for 10 plus years? That's rough. Okay. The reason why the most important part of this episode is knowing your TRS numbers is because that is going to be an essential piece to the, I don't think I have enough to retire. That's lower than what I thought. Because I haven't been talking with many people recently who were like, oh yeah, money in the bank. That's more than what I thought I was going to be getting. I have not helped anybody with this recently where they saw their projected retirement number and thought, woo! Everyone is like, oh my God. Because they're also thinking ahead, like right now, it's 2026. But what's the cost of living going to be like years from now? Can you live off of $50,000 20 years from now? Right? And I think part of it is going to, of course, be your personal choices, your lifestyle, where you want to go, what you want to do, what kind of hobbies and experiences you want to have, right? But I think these are the things that we just need to proactively start thinking about now, okay? The other piece to this is going to be the Roth that I talked about earlier. My second tip is, have you opened up a Roth? So the tip is a question. Have you opened up a Roth? And you're like, girl, I still don't know what a Roth is. This is an individual retirement account that we as teachers are eligible for. And most teachers are going to be eligible for it based off of your salary. Okay? So this is an opportunity for you to invest money now and get to see that money accumulate now and next year and the next year and the next year. And it snowballs into larger sums of money because it's invested, and you get to pull that money out at the age of 59 and a half with no tax issues, okay? In other words, tax-free. And that is a really cool thing. And right now, they raise the max a little bit each year, but I think currently the maximum amount that you can put in this like tax-free investment called the Roth IRA is $7,500. Now, some of you hear that number and think, $7,500? Monica, where in the hell are we coming up with $7,500? And just hearing that, you're like, I'm checked out. No way. No way. And so what I want to talk about in this second tip with the Roth IRA, an individual retirement account, an investment account, is you don't have to put $7,500 in to make this worthwhile. As teachers, we can have micro saving habits. Just small investment habits now in our 20s, in our 30s, in our 40s can make a monumental money difference in our 50s, in our 60s, and in our 70s. The hard part is editing our behaviors to say $25 per paycheck invested would make a difference. $50 per paycheck would make a difference, and just kind of setting it and forgetting it until we're at least 59 and a half. And then we have the opportunity for double investments. We have our teacher retirement system paycheck monthly, and we also have the opportunity to live off of dividends, like to live off the accumulated money that we have made in an investment market. And this doesn't have to be complicated, and it doesn't have to stretch your budget even more. I think it's about getting some momentum with the micro habits. In fact, I crunched some numbers earlier, okay? So let's pretend like you have never heard of a Roth and you don't have one set up with an investment account, with an investment banker, somebody that you trust. And you walk into their office with a dollar and you say, I'd like to set up an account. I'm going to guess that you can't set one up with a dollar. I'm going to guess that there's like a minimum, more than a dollar. But just for simplicity's sake, let's say it's a dollar. Essentially, what I'm trying to prove is that you're going in saying, I'm new to this, okay? And you decide, I'm going to have this micro behavior for 30 years. I'm going to kind of set it and forget it through my paycheck. It's just going to automatically deduct every single month. And I'm going to do $50 a month. Okay. $50 a month. And there are calculators that we can use. In fact, I've pulled one up. And so I want to talk about this calculator that I pulled up earlier. Okay. and I'm not promoting a specific website or something, but literally if you go on Google and do a simple investment calculator, there are lots out there. So you go in with a dollar and you say, I'm going to do this for 30 years. I'm committed to 30 years. And of course, this is always adjustable. This is just a sample. Well, how much interest are you going to get? The historical average is about right now 9%. That you are going to make 9% more money, okay? It's going to accumulate. It's going to snowball every single year. Last year, way more. This is an average. But last year, we were looking at like 16, 17, 18%. Of course, that raises the average. There are going to be years where it's lower than 9, but your estimated rate of return right now, we're looking at approximately 9%. And so you're saying, okay, I'm going to do this every single month. I'm going to do $50 per paycheck. So $100 per month. Now, I need you to know $50 per paycheck for some of you might be like a, there's no way. And I hear you. It could be less than that. For some of you, you might be saying, there's no way. But then you start looking at some of the things, whether it's coffee out or, you know, getting drinks at a bar with the girls. Okay, you're buying $20 margaritas when you could go to the Aldi and get the Zaria, which is a pre-made margarita. Okay. And you could sit on the couch with your gal pals and have way cheaper margaritas. I think that's the thing. I think when people think about investing, they're like, my life's gonna be no fun. Oh, friends, we can have so much fun. It just might need to be edited. But my whole point of this is saying, let's pretend that you're gonna invest $100 a month. You're gonna set it. You're gonna forget it. After a little while, it's just going to just be happening in the background and you're not really going to even be noticing it because it's just automatically deducted. In 30 years, I need you to know without doing anything, you will have made an extra almost $150,000. You invested like of your own money. The money that you put in is about $36,000, but the money that you have made is close to $150,000. Teacher friends, I want to spell this out for us. When we invest $100 per month, in other words, $50 per pay period, in other words, $25 per week, in other words, $5 per school day, and we just get into that habit. And we say, you know what? I'm going to do that for 30 years. I'm going to do that from 22 to 52. I'm going to do that from 32 to 62. Let's say for 30 years, you are literally going to have made an extra $150,000. That's how fast money can accumulate when we start having micro habits. And of course, right? Most of the time in life, we start making a little bit more money. And so maybe you take that from $100 a month to $150 a month. Maybe you realize, hey, we're going to have another kid. Or, hey, our kid's going to college and we need to pare back a little bit. We need to go from 100 to 50. It's very flexible, okay? But I think the whole point to this is that a Roth investment account is something that we can do. And we can invest up to $7,500 a year into an account so that we are not putting all of our eggs into that TRS basket. Because when we retire at 55, 60, 65, yes, we have our TRS benefits. And maybe they're not going to be as big as what we thought they were because we've been proactive about knowing our TRS number. But then we have this other basket that we can put our hands into and dip into, and now we have multiple sources. That is going to have a little bit of reassurance for us. That is going to de-stress our retired life. Now, I will say that there is one other thing that I want to talk about, and this one is really unique. And I think that there are a handful of teachers who this could be a really good fit for, especially if you have a secondary income in your household, especially if that secondary income is much higher than a teacher's salary. There is something called a 403B that we are eligible for as teachers. If you know somebody who has a 401k through their employer, they are likely not in teaching, because most businesses, most companies, most things outside of state government or federal government have something called a 401k, and you've probably heard the term a 401k match. So that means if you happen to work at a company, let's say like Google, and you invest $10,000 a year into your 401k, Google will say, we will match that. And that's cool. We don't have that in teaching. That does not exist in education. That would be awesome. But teachers think, well, we don't need that because we have TRS. And so there's this belief that because we have TRS, we don't need a 401k. Well, there is something that as teachers, we are eligible for, and it's similar to a 401k. It's called a 403B. And this is a very specific retirement account that we are eligible for, that instead of that money hitting our bank account each month, our paycheck hitting our bank account, we can directly invest money from our teacher paycheck into an investment opportunity, into an investment account called a 403B. And your school is the provider for that. They are the ones that can set that up and help you create a third bucket. So we have the TRS benefits, we have the Roth IRA, and then we have the 403B. The 403B is a little bit different because it's something that is set up directly through your employer, which would be your school district. And this is something that is a very cool investment opportunity because it's another tax advantage account. And so when you start really playing with these numbers and really start thinking about how this money can accumulate, at the very beginning of this episode, I said, uncommon opinion, teachers can be millionaires. Teachers can be millionaires. That's not me saying it. We got data to support that. In fact, teachers are in the profession list ranked number 3 of jobs that have the most millionaires. And it's clearly not because we have high salaries. Of course, engineers are going to be on that list. Of course, doctors are going to be on that list. Of course, investment bankers are going to be on that list. But teachers are also on that list. And the reason why is because it's about grit. It's about behavior. It's about budgeting. And when you think about badass people who are good with dealing with behaviors and budgeting and creativity and stretching all of those, no doubt teachers are on the list. But I think one of the main reasons why is because when we learn the power of the TRS system with an investment like a Roth, with the possibility of the 403B and all of the things that I've talked about in this episode, it's not an unpopular opinion that teachers can be millionaires. It's just an uncommon one. Like I said at the beginning, money talk is hard talk. And if this episode has just stressed you out and caused you to maybe feel like this is not financial freedom, this is financial frustration, I hear you. It can be very overwhelming. Again, this is not financial advice, but what I will say is if there was something that stuck out to you, if there was something that you have more questions about, there are lovely people in your area who are willing to dive into this with you. And probably one of the easiest ways to do this, this is ridiculous to say this, but is to go onto your Facebook account, because the Facebook algorithm does do a good job of connecting people in your area. And you ask to your trusted Facebook wall, hey locals, is there a financial investor in our area that you trust, that you like, and that you would recommend? And you are going to quickly see which name gets mentioned a lot. That could be the step that you take next, is to reach out to that office, reach out to that person. I'll say this, if that person charges you to sit down with them and talk about a financial plan, probably not the right person. Because I have had so many financial conversations to find the right person, somebody that I trust, somebody that I like, and I have never, ever had to pay for a consultation to crunch numbers and look at plans. So that's just like an important piece to this puzzle. I am obviously very passionate about this, and I am forever thankful to the assistant principal who randomly stopped me in the hallway in my early 20s and said, Monica, you got a Roth? To which I said, what are you talking about? And he said, you need to learn more about a Roth. I then, that same year, opened up a Roth and have actively been investing in that for now over 15 years. And when I say every single month when I open up that statement, I smile, not because it's easy, not because I want to be investing money every single month, not because I want to see that go into a different account that I'm never going to experience in the next 20 years, but I know that I am going to be able to have more financial freedom then. And I am making so much money because of simple choices that I'm making now. And I do think that's possible for teachers all across the country. I want to thank you so much for just being open to listening to this episode. If you do have any specific questions, don't hesitate to reach out. But most importantly, I just want to thank you for living this teacher life.